And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. I hope the people of Alaska are celebrating their senator, and the people of Maine are mourning theirs. I'm sending this message out to all good people with integrity and passion and compassion and brains. How about that? It's time for Arts Live and Local. And now, some music for my very full show. Oh, I'll just let you know, it's been raining. The high is about 55. Wind is blowing up to 7 miles per hour, not too shabby. And the chance of continued rain is 100%. Can you imagine anything being, it's not even a chance anymore. Tonight, rain mostly before 11 p.m., low around 50. That's nice. And the wind's going to gust up to 21 miles per hour. And chance of rain is once again 100%. But don't ask me. It says before 11, maybe it'll be. Hey, tomorrow it says sunny with a high near 60 and an overnight low of 45 for Saturday night. I don't write it. I just read it. Stay tuned for music from my first guest. The Water Music Festival is coming up very soon. And here is one of the guests. Thanks for being here, folks. Once again, it's so difficult to bring the music down, but I must. My guest is Diane Marshall, and Diane is here as the head honcho of the Water Music Festival. Welcome, Diane.
It's so good to be here. I always love visiting with you, Carol.
That time of year again.
And then when you come to the concerts
I
see how much you enjoy them, that's
even more heartwarming. So we were just listening to, how do you pronounce his name?
Alpin Hong.
There you go. A-L-P-I-N. And Hong is easy. H-O-N-G.
Got it.
Mendelssohn's Rondo Capriccioso. That I can do. He is coming on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's sort of the big one.
Well, they're all big, I'll tell you. They're all wonderful. Well, but yes, he's something else.
Yeah. And he's coming solo.
He'll be coming solo. Yes.
Okay, let's start from the beginning. The Water Music Festival is taking place October 12th through 14th. Is that right? Can't be.
Yeah, next Friday, yeah. Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah. Okay, you spread it out. And so it is a week from today. And I have to admit, I'm a little partial to this first group, Fandango. I've never heard them, but just reading about them, I'm like, oh, yeah, I want these guys. Yeah.
So. Well, if you came 2 years ago, I'm not sure you were there, but to Oysterville Church, a flute and guitar duo were there called Cavatino Duo. They totally wowed the crowd.
Yes, I
Two
do
of
remember them.
Two of them are in Fandango, and they've been joined by this wonderful violinist and cellist, who are Grammy nominees, to form Fandango and playing wonderful, wonderful music.
Aren't these folks from all over the place?
They are.
Yeah.
Bosnia, Spain, other places, and they're going to play music from around the world, like Latin, Spanish, Balkan. Other classical works.
Sephardic. I read all this stuff and I'm going, oh, this is going to be very exciting.
It really will.
So four artists, and that is Friday evening, October 12th. So that's at the Inn at Harbor Village in Ilwaco. Now, we don't give prices, but let's tell people right off the bat, where should they go to get all the information and buy their tickets in advance?
Online, watermusicfestival.com.
Nice and easy.
And it's through brown paper tickets on watermusicfestival.com.
Okay.
There might be a few at the door, but it's always best to get them in advance because the venues are small.
And some of these definitely sell out. So that's, you have a social hour at 6:30 and then the concert at 7:30. Mm-hmm. They're not reserved seats though, right?
No, they're not.
Okay, folks. Yeah. Although that is a lovely place. The only time I've been there was for the... Bonnie Raitt concert.
Yes, that was
good,
wasn't
it? And I really, I liked the space, too.
The space is wonderful, and they've taken out all of their pews, which were very hard benches, and put in folding chairs that are actually quite lovely and much more comfortable.
Nice. So that's, and it's easy to find once you realize it's in Ilwaco, because it's not very big, so... Friday night, Fandango at 6:30, social hour, concert at 7:30. And then tell us about Saturday.
Mark Tykols, who will be playing at the quaint, wonderful, historic, special Oysterville Church, solo classical guitar, a younger man, and critics have said he's the best they've ever heard as far as a new generation of classical guitarists. And I've listened a little bit to him. He is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm reading Soundboard Magazine.
Yes.
Among the best we've ever heard.
Yes.
Nice. And where is he coming from? Is he local?
He's coming from Chicago.
Oh, he's coming from Chicago. Mm-hmm. So when you bring these people, are they on tour in the area or what happens?
Sometimes they are. Sometimes, you know, and we book so that maybe they'll be playing in the area and then coming to our city. But in this case, they're coming from all over for just our festival. All of the artists are this time.
How special. This festival has... just grown and changed. How long have you been involved?
This is I haven't been involved. It's the 34th annual. I've been involved for 12 years.
And as what? Did you start out immediately?
I started out and I said, I will book the music, period, for Water Music Festival. Well, the rest is history and you get, you know.
Once you volunteer and show yourself to be so competent, the jobs keep growing and growing. But the festival has...
We're a village. We're a working board and we all do our part and we do what we can. And some can do more.
And this is the Water Music Festival, but are you still calling it the Water Music Society because you have so many other things going on?
Right. The Society is the organization under which we have Music in the Gardens, Jazz and Oysters, Water Music Festival, and our Christmas concert coming up on December 2nd.
Right. And I see you have Rebecca Kilgore. Ooh, sweet. I like her.
She's terrific.
Just delightful. Okay, so Mark Tykols.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that is Saturday at the Oysterville Church. If you haven't been there, you will be delighted. If you have, you already know. It's the sweetest. It's actually, they do still have Vespers during the summer.
Yeah.
So it does sort of operate in a way as a church, although that's very music oriented too. And it's wonderful that the building is being kept up and alive.
There's
been theater there and music and all kinds of
community.
We don't
have evening concerts there anymore because we used to have candles, real candles, when we had evening concerts. And one of the this has been years ago, one of the board members' jackets caught on fire, so they quit doing candles.
Oh, there are no lights? No.
You can have the battery-operated lights.
Okay, but there is no, yeah, it's a...
It's
this
wonderful.
Is way up at the top of the of Oysterville.
Yeah. There won't be a social hour for that one. It'll be simply the concert.
Unless it's a gorgeous sunny day, you can hang it outside.
The weather's supposed to be good that week next
cool.
weekend.
Yeah. Well, when we see it, we'll know. no guarantees. But that is a 3 o'clock concert, as Diane said, afternoon. And then comes
Alpenhong.
Just Alpenhong. And tell us about him. Classical pianist.
He is a pianistic firebrand. He wanted to be a ninja, and then he decided to be a classical pianist. He is delightful. He is immensely talented, as our listeners have heard on that the snippet you played. He's funny. He's great with the kids.
He'll
do our educational outreach on Monday the 15th. And children love him.
So tell us, but he's doing classical music even with the kids?
Well, he is. And,
that's great. That's wonderful, too.
He relates to them so well that they perk up their ears and listen and say, gosh, you don't have to be just kind of a square dude to be a classical pianist.
This is good stuff, and it's nice to
We're going to have some
them.
Young people at the concert serving the hors d'oeuvres and even cleaning up afterwards. And they get, therefore, to listen to him. And I've told him about this. So he's going to have a few words for them and even play a very delightful piece, I think, for them.
Lovely. So this is Sunday the 14th. The concert is at 3 p.m. There is a social hour at 2 p.m. Now, the Eagle's Nest. What is that and where is that?
It's in Iwako. It's actually... in the summertime, an RV park, but you really can't tell it once you get up there to the lodge. It's a wonderful, wonderful space. Huge social hour area. It's kind of up on a hill, so you can see the Baker Bay, and if it's a nice day, even walk out onto their deck. It's accessible, handicap, wheelchair accessible. It's up close and personal, like Ledbetter is, which we didn't schedule prevented us from using it this year, but it's up close and personal like that to the artist, and I think people will highly enjoy this space.
Okay,
it's
now
perfect.
Again, remember watermusicfestival.com, and you can get all the details. What are you doing with the funds here? How does it work? Do you do scholarship or something for through the Water Music Festival and Society?
Well, besides just funding our season and so forth, our main mission, besides having wonderful events and bringing wonderful artists here, world-class artists here, is supporting music in the schools. And this last year, we supported the Iwako music groups going to adjudicated competitions and intense workshops. And we also brought the Obo Addy Legacy Project to the peninsula. And entertained at 3 different schools, entertained over 6,000 kids and taught them about the customs and drumming and costumes of Ghana. And the teachers said it was one of the best assemblies they've ever had. So we feel very fortunate to be able to do this for the kids.
Yeah. So the Water Music Society, and now this coming next weekend is the Water Music Festival, covers pretty much the whole peninsula. Because your schools, and then you go up north sometimes.
We try to do that, yeah.
Okay, so the best thing to do is to go online and get your tickets for the 12th through the 14th. And you said this 34th year?
34th year for Water Music Festival.
For Water Music Festival, which is what started. And then, as I always like to remind people, the Jazz and Oysters, which was created to support the Water Music Festival, was partly created by KMUN people, mm-hmm. Carlos and Sharon Montoya Welsh.
Yes. Because it's the 33rd year for that this year.
That's yeah. it. He was the jazz guy, and she was the oyster and garlic woman. And so the cook, she did a cooking show. Cool. And so they lived in Oysterville. So I love the fact that we all are in this together. Mm-hmm. It's all community-oriented. And all your people look really happy. It looks like they're already enjoying themselves. So I know
you mean the board or the musicians?
No, I haven't seen the board. They're probably working their butts off.
We're
but the
working
musician.
Pretty hard. Yeah, it takes a village. It does
takes,
indeed.
I'm sure. Well, Diane, thank you so much again this year for spearheading and for coming in and sharing this with us. And I'm really looking forward to hearing some of these folks.
I think this will be one of the best festivals ever. I know I say that every year.
Well,
but I'll tell you, every one of these artists are phenomenal.
Yeah, top of the line.
So we hope to see you there.
Watermusicfestival.com, Friday night and Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon next weekend. You can buy a whole package, mm-hmm. is that right? Or you can get one.
Yeah.
Any one of the
exactly.
tickets.
Exactly.
So check it out. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, as
okay.
always.
Okay.
Okay,
great.
Cool.
And I'm going to let Diane go, but I have right here another guest. Today seems to be the Peninsula show, and three-fourths of it at least, although the artwork that we're going to experience is right here in Astoria next weekend during Astoria Art Walk and at Imogen Gallery, which is right on the corner of 11th and Marine Drive. And my guest is Mark Boone, but he is from Ocean Park, so that's how it qualifies as being a Peninsula show. Welcome, Mark. Whoops.
Thank you.
There we go. Now, Mark, you were here, I think, a couple of years ago.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
In June.
And was that, oh, okay. Is that the last time you had a show at Imogen?
Yes. In between, I had a show in Portland.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at you. The name of this show is Shaman's Way. And I want to, well, why don't you tell us about that? And then I do want to hear, because you're one of those bi-coastal people. You started in Washington. You ended up on the East Coast. Maybe, I don't even know, maybe you worked your way across and back. But now you're here for real, right? You're sticking around.
Yes.
Good. Lucky us. But I'm thinking that a lot of your work, at least last time and this time, really incorporates the ocean, the trees, nature. What'd you do in New York?
That was tough, in a way.
Near Central Park or something?
No, I just would go to Maine quite a bit and, and the mountains in Maryland. And I spent as much time in Baltimore, or actually more than I did in New York. But I always knew that I wanted to come back to Washington and Oregon.
Yeah.
And because I love it here, and I love the nature, the ocean, you know. Mm-hmm. And the idea of a shaman... and a tree, the Axis Mundi, it's a sort of symbol of the center of the world. And if you ascend the tree to, you know, knowledge, essentially, a spiritual sort of trip. And that's what this is about. And also, these paintings are about jazz.
Yeah. Hold it. You have this strong connection... Not just this show, but music and art seems to go. Are you a musician?
I was. I don't play anymore, but I listen to music constantly. These all the paintings are named after different jazz artists in this particular show.
Oh, neat.
For instance, the one that is Gershwin.
Axis Mundi, Rhapsody for... Oh, darn.
I listened to Rhapsody in Blue a lot, but I didn't want to make a blue painting. Plus, Arthur Dove made a really great painting, probably one of the best paintings named after a song ever.
That's kind of interesting. So does the music... How does it work for you?
Whatever I'm listening to affects the painting. Sometimes I use a composition idea, but as I listen to more and more to whoever artist I'm listening to at that time, I sort of move the painting around that piece of music. So often it's not just all of their music, but one or two songs that I'm listening to over and over again on the CD. There's a couple of female singers, Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan paintings. And this other on the cover is a Herbie Hancock, who I saw in Portland, I think it was February.
This is great. Access Mundi for Herbie Hancock.
Yeah.
And then
incredible.
Tell us what Access Mundi. Access of the world.
Right, it's the tree. That's sort of the tree of life.
Okay.
And so these, almost all the jazz musicians that I'm using, I think, are very spiritual and out there, ascending to a higher plane, I think.
What you don't know, but the audience does, this sounds like a quiz show, no, is that the artist of whom Diane was speaking, this Alpen Hung,
yes,
also plays Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue.
Oh, great.
And it was on this album she gave me. She only had two pieces, Mendelssohn, yes, and Gershwin. So,
well, I
he's playing behind you right now. Do you feel the... You
yeah,
can't hear it.
I can feel it, yeah. I love that. I think that was recorded, Gershwin's, I believe, 1932, I think, first time.
I don't remember.
I think so. Anyway, it's absolutely terrific.
I also found that you mentioned the medicine men and women who connected with nature and all creation to influence the world of good and evil. I'm thinking a lot about good and evil these days.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I find that if I combine the sound in my mind while I paint, it really affects exactly, particularly the final image. Mm. Years ago, I think it was 1973, I met Philip Glass, who influenced me quite a bit, actually. And he... was working for Leo Castelli Gallery, the uptown one.
Oh, yes.
And so I think it was the next weekend I went to one of his concerts. He wasn't very famous yet, and he passed a coffee can around.
Right.
People put money in. And he'd strung wires over this loft right below the ceiling level and had a pool stick with a metal tip on it and played the wires at different pitches.
I can just imagine.
It was a bit like John Cage, actually.
Yeah.
And I started doing sound drawings back in that, when I was in grad school, actually.
Were you in grad school for art?
Yeah,
or
for
music?
Painting.
Okay, for painting.
And I did my thesis in painting, but meantime, I started doing these sound pieces, sound drawings, without notes, no math, like Cage was doing at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And Phil... also, but now Phil uses notes again.
Okay, but hold on. Were you doing that as part of your art then?
Not. I was just sort of doing it as a side.
As
and then
a
it
side.
Became,
okay.
excuse me, it became my first show in New York,
which
I believe was 1976. I'd shown it in Maryland and in Oregon, but I'd never shown in New York till I believe, I think I was in a group show in 75, but 76 was when I had my first one-person show. At the Truman Gallery up on 57th Street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yes.
I walk 57th from east to west all the time. When I'm in New York, that is, not when I'm here. But so do you use, how do you use music for your art? Do you always have some kind of music? This show is
always, yeah.
Jazz. Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm like, I like to listen to Sibelius and people like that.
You're in the right part of the world for that, right?
Yes.
Little Finland.
Well, there was
here.
A couple of years ago, they had a...
That's right.
I think
concert,
2 years ago, yeah.
It was part of the Astoria Music Festival.
Right, it was great.
Yeah. And his granddaughter or someone was playing.
Was there, yes.
Yep, I have the book. She inscribed that.
That was amazing.
So between 2 years ago and now, have you been living here
yes.
on the coast?
We have a condo in Portland also, but we're only there, you know, 4 or 5 days a month.
Mm-hmm.
Do business and go to the doctors and things
right.
like that.
And then come home to the beauty.
Yeah.
But you did have an art show there. Is this show, Shaman's Way, which again is opening at Imogen Gallery on 11th and Marine Drive on Saturday, October 13th, and it's running through November 6th. It's really, really nice to come. You will be there, I presume.
Yes.
For the opening. It's lovely to be there and meet Mark. And are you going to have music playing during the opening?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But
could be a little
distracting. You could be in your head, you know.
Yeah, right, right. You'll
I'm going to have a show in Portland in, I think, February.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the same sort of theme.
Well,
and then one in Baltimore about a year from now.
The fact that you you give us the cue, because it's Rhapsody for Gershwin, Axis Mundi for Herbie Hancock. So people who are familiar with these artists can be looking at the painting. And
there would be Miles Davis and John Coltrane.
Oh, great. You know, you could be one of those. Maybe we'll talk to Terry. Have little earphones at each painting. And when you put the earphone on as you're looking at the painting and you hear
that. Would be nice.
Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen this time, though. So, Mark, when did you get into... I'm still a little confused about the music. I just learned a new word, intersectionality.
Yes.
That's the first time I've ever said it out loud, and I don't think I'll use it again. But
I always played. I played trumpet and cornet. And
when you were a child? Or,
yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, from grade school on.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you start in school?
Yes.
Okay, folks, remember, music in the schools. You never know what you could come out with, a musician or an artist.
We had a wonderful
visual artist
teacher who made us work pretty hard, and that
good.
Was good.
Yeah.
And it's nice to learn to read music. And
yes.
I played in rock and roll bands and a little jazz, but I was not a great jazz player.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate it.
But you were definitely, obviously, appreciate it.
It helped me to appreciate it, I
mm-hmm.
think.
That's the part that I'm wondering then. And you got into art at what time in your life? And then
the World's Fair in Seattle. I had a little epiphany and decided I was going to be an artist.
Wow.
And it was mostly abstract expressionist paintings, and they made perfect sense to me. And I grew up in Palouse, Washington, which is a very small little town by Pullman.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't around music, and I wasn't around painting, and it just hit me, sort of.
But, and your family wasn't involved either?
No.
Okay. So can you put into words how the music gets inside you and comes out? I could hear about, you know, with the Philip Glass, that was clear.
Yes.
John Cage.
When you listen to really sophisticated jazz, like, say, John Coltrane, he goes on these incredible fast riffs, and so that transfers in my mind and in my hand a kind of fast painting areas.
Mm.
And a lot of these paintings have silver in them because it's... they almost make a sound, and they seem wet, and it's wet here, so it's that kind of combination. And it affects my palette and my mood while I'm painting. So I'll listen to something over and over and over again as I'm painting, and they just sort of come together for me.
So do you listen to music when you're not painting?
Pretty much all the time.
Okay. And the other question is, have you been able to support your life financially with your art?
No.
Okay.
it helps, but I taught for many years.
What did you teach?
Painting, drawing.
That's part of art.
Right. And then I installed art in New York City.
Okay. Still in the art world.
And I moved art across the country.
Okay.
For DAD trucking. We moved all over the United States. And occasionally, I also worked for ViArt Corporation, and we installed art in corporations all over America, Asia, all around.
So I'm going to change your answer to yes.
Yes.
Because you've managed to stay
in the art world.
I stayed in the art world, as much as possible. And you were knowledgeable and trustworthy because you appreciate it. It wasn't like moving couches.
No.
Or even pianos.
The company that I worked for only hired artists.
Yeah. So there you go.
Because they treat the works in a safe manner.
And that's another thing that I didn't know the answer, and I kind of put you on the spot, and you said no. You know, you thought you were being honest, but my interpretation is different. And I think just as I try to push music and art in the schools, which I am such a believer in. Diane was talking about that too.
So am I.
Yeah, clearly, but also the idea that people can make this passion. Make this your life and just be creative.
Yeah,
improvise.
It's always been my life, since all my life, but from 18 on.
That's adult life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Okay, Mark Boone is, again, that's M-A-R-C, Boone with an E. Do you have a website?
Yes. Mark@markboone.com.
Okay. So MarcBoone.com. The show is Shaman's Way. It's at Imogen Gallery, opening Saturday the 13th during Astoria Art Walk. And hope to see everybody there. Thank you so much for coming in, and congratulations
on
the show. Okay. I have a piece of music I would like to play for you. This is a world premiere, and that's because this came from the Pete Seeger concert that was put on at the Performing Arts Center and to celebrate his 99th birthday, and it was a real community event. And this particular song speaks to me, especially at this time.
Pete said, "We all go to different churches or no churches. We have different favorite foods, different ways of making love, different ways of doing all sorts of things. But when we're all singing together, it gives you hope." Pete said this about the folk process: "One of the best lessons I learned from folk music is that there is nothing wrong in borrowing from older songs in order to help create newer songs. So let me freely acknowledge that in all these songs I have tried to put together, I've consciously or unconsciously borrowed. You may want to change the melody or words slightly, or even more than slightly. You may want to add a verse. I might like your changes, I might not. In any case, I have faith in the folk process, which will, over the years, sift the good from the bad." The next tribute is Rainbow Race, one of Pete's own.
One blue sky above us, one ocean lapping all our shores, one earth so green and round, who could ask for more? And because I love you, I'll give it one more try to show my rainbow rays. It's too soon to die. I'd love it if you learned this chorus with me. I'll call out the line and then we'll sing it together. How does that sound? Yeah. One blue sky above us. One blue sky above us. One ocean lapping all our shores. One ocean lapping all our shores. One earth so green and round. One earth so green. Who could ask for more? And because I love you. it's too soon to die. Some folks want to be like an ostrich, bury their heads in the sand. Some hope that plastic dreams will unclench all those greedy hands. Some want to take the easy way. Poisons and bombs, they think we need them. Don't you know you can't kill all the unbelievers? There's no shortcut to freedom. One blue sky. One blue sky above us. One ocean. One ocean lapping all our shores. One vest so green and round. One earth so green and round. Who could ask for more? Who could ask for more? And because I love you. And because I love you. I'll give it one more try. I'll give it one more try. To show my rainbow race. To show my rainbow race. It's too soon. It's too soon. Today we struggle with some of the things that he was talking about. But you know, when I was singing that last verse, it gave me hope. Because as much as I believe that we as adults need to go tell the children, we need to hug them and sing with them and love them up, it seems like right now our job is to listen to the children. So I took those words of advice and penned a couple extra lines. Go tell all the politicians. Tell the NRA too. Now's the time to hear the truth. The children speak.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Pete Seeger, Margaret Frimuth, Kit Ketchum, all the people who took part. Stay tuned. Next year, we're going to be celebrating Pete Seeger's 100th birthday. And thank you to Graham Nystrom for putting the show on a recording so that we can share it with you. I have some guests here. I have a room full of guests. They're all, you know what? They're wearing dark clothes. They're all cranberry people, and they're wearing dark clothes. I'm the brightest one around. I have a yellow choice shirt on. Yes, it's true. We are here to talk about the Washington's Cranberry Coast, which happens to be right across the river from where we're sitting right now. And I have Melinda Crowley. Right. Melinda Crowley is here, and she is the Cranberry Museum curator. I bet you all didn't know there was a Cranberry Museum. Well, you do now. And, or you will by the time Melinda's finished telling you. Ardell McPhail is here. Ardell is a present-day cranberry grower and also the PCCRF. What does that stand for, Ardell?
It stands for the Pacific Coast Cranberry Research Foundation.
Whew. That's why
it's a mouthful.
Exactly. That's why. And then our very popular guest, Betsy Millard, is Perennial. Here from the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. And she will be telling us, she's wearing her Cranberrian Fair hat on today. She'll be back later for the artwork at the festival. But I was just over there. Congratulations to the museum and also to our board member, David Campiche, and Eric Weigart for a gorgeous show, which, by the way, folks, is closing tomorrow. This is the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco. So that's why I went yesterday. I suddenly realized I didn't want to miss it, and I am so glad I didn't. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Good to
now,
be here. Thank
have you. You been here before?
No.
Melinda's, have you been on the radio before?
No.
Uh-oh. How about you? How about you, Ardell?
Oh, long, long time ago.
On this radio?
No.
Okay, we have, forget about Betsy, we have two KMUN adult virgins. This is a wonderful thing. Congratulations. So, Melinda,
yes.
You are the Cranberry Museum curator, and your husband's family goes way back in the cranberry business?
My husband's father was a first researcher on Long Beach Peninsula. He started the cranberry research in 1923, actually.
1923. Okay. Were there cranberries growing here then?
They started planting. No, yeah, they started planting in the 1880s.
Oh, okay.
83 was the first, or 82 was the mm-hmm. first commercial cranberries planted. And because of bugs and problems that the growers were having with the cranberries, they asked Washington State College at that time for help with a researcher. And then by 1923, he came
to figure out
the problems.
Okay. And am I correct? I'll ask all of you, am I correct that you need wet land to grow cranberries?
You need lots of water.
You need lots of water. Have I got a place for you?
Oh.
Brownsmead, bottom land. We'll talk later.
Okay.
I want to say what, you regular listeners know, this is an event-driven show. So why? What's with the cranberries? Well, Sydney Stevens has once again written the text for another gorgeous book. This is the Washington's Cranberry Coast, and it is filled with photographs and drawings and then a lot of information. So even if you didn't think you were that interested, this is a fascinating piece. I mean, I'm looking at this picture right here. It's wonderful. You know, I play washboard. This looks like a wash. I don't even know what this is. It's a scraper or something.
Scoops.
Oh, okay. Ardell, you're still doing this?
Oh, yeah. Not by hand. Not anymore.
Okay. I'm thinking you're not. I mean, I said adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't get down on the.
No.
Are there still people who are doing it by hand?
No, not really. Unless we do go out and pick our own after we've harvested with the mechanical harvest machine. So.
What about Starvation Alley? Are they?
I think they still use some mechanical machines.
Okay, because I saw a picture of them knee-deep in water, and I wondered how that worked. So the cranberry is celebrated there. Now, does it grow in other parts of Washington, in Oregon? How did it?
Yeah, cranberries on the Washington coast and also on the northern Oregon coast, we grow cranberries, and in Bandon, Oregon.
Oh.
But that's for the West Coast, and also BC has a lot of cranberries. And there are five states that grow cranberries, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Wisconsin, Oregon, and Washington.
So they That's really cute. Two on the, it's bi-coastal with one in the middle.
With one in the middle, which yeah. makes you wonder why that area, you
right.
know. But
right.
it's usually water and soil, the soil types.
Acid soil?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm telling you, come to my house. Well, it's perfect, yeah. you know, very acidic, very wet, very muddy. So what made you get into this, Ardell? Were you from a cranberry family
also?
No,
not at all. We worked with WSU Extension Service for my husband and I, and we wanted to do something on our own. So we had a cranberry grower researcher here in Long Beach that talked my husband into looking at a couple of farms. And so that was about 37 years ago.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So we've been doing it ever since.
Is it a lot of hard work?
Yes.
Both of you.
Definitely.
Yeah. Does it pay the bills?
Yep.
Yes.
We hope
okay.
so.
Okay.
That's what you're working for.
And I remember, because I've gone to the Cranberry Festival, and people were selling these big bags right. of the raw cranberries. I
yeah.
did not buy one because I couldn't figure out what the heck I would do with a big bag of raw cranberries. What do you do?
Well, you make your sauces. You can put them in breads. Pies, good. A pear cranberry pie is awfully good.
Mm.
Peach cranberry pies. Mm. They put them on meat, sauces for meats. You know, you bake
sure.
Pork or your meat roast and with cranberries
I'll
on
stick
them.
To the pies.
And then you freeze and them.
Yes. And then you freeze them. Freeze yes, them. Thank you, Betsy.
And you freeze them and you dip them in sugar and put them in your Cosmo.
Oh, that's good.
I think you covered just about everything. So folks, tell us about the Cranberrian Festival that is coming up, or Cranberrian Fair. And also tell us about how this beautiful new book, which I believe the PCCRF commissioned Sydney to...
Right. We it was kind of a group effort. Sydney did all the writing and a lot of the research, and Melinda and I looked for a lot of the pictures and
where did you find all these pictures?
Oh,
these
it wasn't
wonderful.
Easy. A lot of growers have old pictures,
oh, okay.
and in our museum, and also the Heritage Museum had a lot of pictures.
Nice.
So.
I mean, this is every page has at least one or two
yeah.
photographs from way back.
It's unfortunate because the cranberry plant and stuff and berries are so pretty that it's in black and white. But
yeah.
that's how the historical, these Arcadia books are
written. And you know what?
Written.
I think... Listen, look at you three. You look beautiful, even though you're not in
We're
color.
Dark.
We saved okay. all of our red clothes for next week.
Yes,
that's right.
Okay. I think black and white it gives you the...
Yes.
Lets you know it's old.
Right.
So Betsy, tell us about the fest.
Well, yes, the Cranberrian Festival is next weekend, and it takes place both at the Cranberry Museum up on Pioneer Road in Long Beach
mm-hmm.
and at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco. And actually, Sydney will be doing book signings at both institutions, 11 to 1 on Saturday and Sunday at the Cranberry Museum,
mm-hmm.
and then 2 to 4. Both days at the museum in Ilwaco, and so you can come start in either place. And the Pacific Coast Cranberry Research Foundation very very generously provides a trolley, the Long Beach trolley,
oh, sweet.
To go between the two places.
Nice.
And but there's parking at both places, so you don't have to take the trolley. So it just makes it easier to get around. And we have 23 vendors at
oh, wow.
the museum. In the 1920s, when the Cranberry Festival was started as a way to highlight the wonderful production of the cranberry growers, they did a festival, and it included, you know, showing off boxes of beautiful cranberries. But they also had things showing like quilts and crafts
oh.
and jams and jellies. And so we keep the kind of craft side going. And the
right.
Cranberry Museum keeps the cranberries going.
Right.
Sounds terrific.
So now, it's great. And you can go on bog tours when you go
oh,
to the Cranberry
yes.
Museum.
So tell me, or tell everybody, is there a website that folks can go to get this whole picture?
Sure, you have it on yeah. your website.
Yes, our website is columbiapacificheritagemuseum.org,
okay.
and I think you have it, too.
And we're Cranberry Museum. That's Cranberry Museum.
Dot com.
No, it's dot org.
Try them both.
And there's lots of information on funbeach.com as well, the Visitors Bureau site.
And then there's always Facebook. We try to keep everything updated on Facebook during this period of time.
You better be careful. They'll come and find you.
That's okay. That's what we want.
Exactly. In this case. So this is ArcadiaPublishing.com. It might be listed there if you happen to live in Squamish or New York City and you can't get to the festival, then you might be able to find the book online too, and have a look at some of these. I'm telling you, the information and the photo all together. And we want to send out a special refuash lema to Niall and Sydney, and I hope to see them walking and talking and feeling good ASAP. Thank you so much for coming in, my guests. Melinda Crowley from the Cranberry Museum, the curator, and Ardell McPhail, still growing cranberries. And with the, I found it, it's written, so I don't have to, Pacific Coast Cranberry Research Foundation, that's PCCRF, and, of course, Betsy Millard from the CPHM, the Columbia that's Pacific right. Heritage Museum. Thank you all for coming in.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So can I leave?
And so... So I'm going to put on a little bit of music, and then actually I'm going to start telling you what's, I'll put the music on. So that's the message. Get out and vote. Don't just complain. You can do that too. You can get angry. But meanwhile, get out and vote. And what you want to be sure to vote for is the arts. Always voting for the arts. So my last guests are here, Lynn Hadley and Charlene Larson, who's usually everywhere. and they are with the CCCC.
Lots of C's.
The Clatsop County Cultural Coalition. And folks, you can get money. There is money to be given away to you if you're in the arts or history preservation. You give that. You tell everybody.
Anything that raises awareness for the cultural affairs in Clatsop County, the visual arts, performing arts, heritage, or humanities, anything would qualify. You just have to be in a resident of Clatsop County. The project has to be taking place in Clatsop County. You do not have to be a 501c3. Individual artists, in the organization that is putting on any kind of project that addresses the culture and of any of those that I just mentioned, preservation, function, use of a facility where these cultural events are taking place.
Wow.
It's all thanks to the Oregon Cultural Trust, which is a wonderful organization that gets all these monies and then gives our organization for our county.
Now, you say it's all thanks to the Oregon Cultural Trust, but I'm going to say it's all thanks to the people of Oregon who give their money to the Oregon Cultural Trust, which then gives it back to every county so that it can be spent for the community. And the big part of that, folks, is if you're not involved in any of this and you don't even want a grant, who doesn't want a grant? But
no, right.
If you don't qualify in any way, shape, or form, You can still take advantage of this and support your community and support the arts. And it's free. I'm promising you it is free to you because this is from your taxes, not a deduction, a credit, which means that if you owe $1,000 taxes and you donate $500, which is the maximum for the individual, to the Oregon Cultural Trust, you now only owe another $500. Just think about it, where your money is going with your taxes. If you want it to go to the arts, check out the Oregon Cultural Trust. But right now, we want to make sure that local folks know. So the deadline is October 31st. What does that mean?
That means your grant application, which you can find on the KlatsepCulturalCoalition.org website.
So it's just three C's in that?
That's
right. KlatsepCulturalCoalition.org. Because it is obviously nonprofit. So you need to get it there. Now, if you don't have a computer, you don't know how to download, whatever like that, is there a phone number or someone? There were a couple of workshops. You missed them. Sorry, we didn't get the word out fast enough. Is there someone who can help people who say, I don't even know if I qualify? Charlene, can you advise?
Yes. Contact can be made with me. And
what's the best way to do that?
503-325-0590.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's Charlene Larson.
Right.
And you'll sort of help guide folks.
Help guide
what they can
through
do.
Them, and also the process is the application needs to be in hard copy and mailed, and it can't have a postmark of October 31st.
Has to arrive.
It has to arrive and be in our post office box.
Okay, so
on or before October 31st. Okay. And that's real important.
Now, is there some way that people can hand deliver it if they're too late to mail? Because, you know, if I mail something from my mailbox in Brownsmead, it goes all the way to Portland before it comes back to Astoria. Yeah. We're cutting it awfully close, folks. It is today, October 5th, the 31st. I can't read this calendar, sorry.
It's the last Wednesday.
One, two, three.
Yeah. Of
okay.
the month.
So yeah, no, that's one of our hard and fast rules
okay.
as far as you need to have thought about this and also yeah. thought about the funding priorities. So we're looking for new or improved cultural programs. Collaboration is always nice if you're collaborating mm-hmm. with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That you have an idea of a plan as far as what is your
project,
your mm-hmm. comprehensive kind of publicity and media coverage. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do
and
to
maybe,
promote your project?
Maybe what kind of in-kind help you might be getting from
That's
others.
Correct. That's
yeah.
correct.
Because you have to have a budget, don't you?
You have to submit a budget. The application itself is three pages.
Okay.
Very straightforward.
Yep.
Answer the questions. And then the budget document is the budget for your project, not your entire
Right, not your life.
Entity, yeah. Not your life, but
okay,
just
folks,
the project.
Again, the website, KlatsepCulturalCoalition.org, or if you need help, call 325-503-325-0590 and talk to Charlene.
And there's an article addressing it in the Coast Weekend Daily Historian.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. Next year, we really are going to get it on earlier. Thank you to Lynn Hadley and Charlene Larson and the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition and the Oregon Cultural Trust. And I just want to tell you that Astor Street Opry Company Improv Comedy starts tonight. David Barsamian is at the PAC tonight. That's a KMUN function. Papa Enchanted April opens tonight. The Coaster, Death Trap. There's a contra dance at the AAMC tonight. Peninsula Arts Association fall show is this weekend. The Quilt Show. The Southwester has lots going on. The Hoffman, the Voodoo tonight. Sand Trap. And there is so much going on, and you need to find out about it by listening right here. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and it is time for...